And St. Paul would say, if you have ever committed a grave sin in your life, you or I are guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. So if we can eliminate sin from our lives, we'll eliminate sin from the cross of Jesus Christ and from our own too. Because isn't so much of our sinning an illegitimate attempt to escape from pain, to get out from under in a way which is disapproved of by our God? How else can you explain addiction to alcohol and drugs, to numb ourselves against the reality of the pain that we're experiencing? Or to overcome loneliness, which is the greatest suffering of all, I believe. And you try to satiate that thirst for company through illicit sexual activity. Son, blessed by God, he took it all. Did you know for the first 6 centuries of the church, there were no crucifixes as we know them now? Because the whole catechesis, the whole preaching and teaching of the church was, he is risen. And you can understand why they would focus on the reality of the resurrection, because crucifixion at the time of Jesus was most common. But resurrection is most uncommon. There's only one person in the history of the world who ever rose from the dead and stayed alive, Jesus Christ. And that's why you and I are Christians. He taught us how to suffer. Oh, I wish it weren't this way, though. We didn't have to suffer. But we do. And I'd ask you to get your relief, no matter how you may spell relief. Allow the morphine drip, but call for the hydration and the nutrition when the end of your life comes, because that is one of the ordinary means to keep yourself alive. And that's important. But take your analgesics, the painkillers. And we're advertised to so many of them, aren't we, in the evening when us older people are watching the news. Yes, to take away our pain. And that's good, too. Don't overdose, though. There's no blessing on that. And even if you've taken all of your prescription, there's going to be a big, big chunk of pain to be suffered all alone. And nobody else is around even to share it with, except that one on the cross. Suffering makes us think. Thinking makes us wise. Wisdom makes life tolerable. Divine wisdom, incarnate wisdom, Jesus Christ, can make suffering even a joy, because he it is who takes us through the Garden of Gethsemane, up over the hill of Calvary, into the morning of the resurrection. Our God is for us. Do you remember in the book of Revelation, book of Judah 2, in the Hebrew scriptures, those whom he loves, he chastises. But he loves us all, doesn't he? So we're all subject to the chastisement. He loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. And he wants to stretch us so that we can love him more and more. You know that poem by Francis Thompson, The Hound of Heaven? I think it's the most beautiful poem ever written in the English language. I can't think of anything that even come close to touch it. And Francis Thompson was a dope addict, an alcoholic. He lived over 100 years ago. One of his best friends was a Capuchin Franciscan, our Father Anselm from Pantasif in Wales. And they would get together on matters of letters. But this poem is very, very daring. It's a hound dog pursuing a soul, pursuing you and me. A hound dog. And that's the name he gives to God. Up and down the labyrinthine ways. If you ever tried to read that poem, you better have your dictionary close at hand, because there are many, many uncommon words, but well used. And Bishop Sheen liked this so much, he memorized it. And that would be an heroic feat. And just to say it would take about 5 or 10 minutes. But it's powerful. And there are a couple lines in that poem which really strike me. Right at the end, it's the dog, the hound dog, speaking to you, to me. And he says, all which I took from thee, I did but take, not for thy harms,